Hi, it's Doug Fabrizio. The Utah Arts Festival gets underway on June 25th, and this year we're working with festival organizers on what we're calling the Creative Utah Challenge. Here's the idea. Every Friday, we're going to be posting a very short podcast that hopefully will prod you to create something and maybe even tell you how to go about it. And we're going to start with a haiku. You know it. It's a traditional form of Japanese poetry. These poems are short. They have a very particular structure, too. Three simple lines. They usually, but not always, have five syllables and then seven syllables and then five syllables. Utah poet Jackie Oshro actually doesn't write haiku herself, but she loves the form. And when she joined us in studio, she had with her a book of haiku with Japanese poets like Basho, Buson, and Issa.
What did I do with these glasses? They're probably inside these pages.
They're right there.
Oh. That's hilarious.
Give me a visual image of what you have in front of me. You've got a book packed
with a book with a
blue stickies.
Blue sticky notes. It's very funny.
I'm guessing this is one of your favorites, if not your favorite, about spiders. Do you want to
read
that one? Talk about that one and read this one.
Okay, sure. This is Issa. Don't worry, spiders. I keep house casually. I love it for personal reasons. Casually would be a kindness to the way I keep house, right? Badly would be the accurate adverb. But it's in a way, I love it because it turns my bad housekeeping into a kindness to spiders. But also, I think, you know, the direct address to a spider and the idea that a spider might worry. So I love it for a thousand reasons. It's a great favorite of mine. If you want to introduce people to poetry, these are great because you can see a lot of the great things poems can do fairly quickly. Because, you know, how much are you going to talk about seven words, right?
For those who are out there wanting to write haiku, what's the kind of guidance that you...
I'll tell you what he says. In this book, we have Basho's advice. And he basically says you have to be tremendously disciplined and diligent and work very, very hard at paying attention to things. When you encounter the thing, the object that you want to, you know, communicate, you sort of become that object and you let nothing get between you and the object. So it's a kind of mental training. Notice as much as you can notice. And when you notice something worth noting down, that's when you note it down.
One of the things you've talked about is that they have to have a turn.
Right. If not a turn, at least a refinement on the previous line, though often a turn. And turns really are the lifeblood of poetry. You go one direction and then you veer. And you might be turning away from the direction of an argument. You might be turning away from a form, exploding against what's expected of you. There are lots of ways to turn in poetry, but that's its lifeblood. And I think that's what makes haiku so fabulous, is that they're constantly turning. And then there's maybe either a shift in attention or an intensity of attention that causes the turn. You notice something, then you notice something else. Then you notice the next thing. And the way those three noticed things come together is magic.
We pick one and talk about this turn, one where you see a turn.
Okay, well, there's
really
an easy one. This one is Buson. The cherry blossoms fallen through the branches, a temple. Okay, love this one. Why? What's the turn? The cherry blossoms fallen. So it gives you something and takes it away. This is Japan. A cherry blossom is no joke, right? This is as good as it gets, right? This is as good as it gets. But they're already fallen in the first line. The turn is not they're having fallen. Yeah. The cherry blossoms fallen through the branches. They've created a new kind of possibility, right? A temple. The other thing that's great about the haiku is, and any poem, it's true, poetry can take the cliche and just turn it on its head, the tiniest bit, so that it becomes a revelation. And the great example is this, it's pretty well known Issa poem, "Climb Mount Fuji, oh snail, but slowly, slowly." Okay, so it takes, slow as a snail. Is there a more boring cliche? No, but it makes it a revelation. Yeah. I see it as, yes, it's funny, but it's also you know, profound. It's saying, you know, it's not a race. Just get started. Go slowly, but you can get there. So there's a lot going on. But again, there's that other thing. You don't want to go for the cliche, obviously. You have to turn something on its head a little bit in a haiku, I think, or any poem, really. You can't just go on autopilot writing poetry. That's a disaster.
You know what I like about the Basho idea about paying attention? It reminds me of something Mary Oliver wrote. Attention is the beginning of devotion.
Yeah, it's the beginning of everything, really. Actually, my favorite definition of poetry comes from Paul Celan. Paul Celan described poems as gifts to the attentive. What a great description. And that's true of all of these. The more attention you give them, the more they reward you. I actually think it's a good definition of any art. Right?
Yeah.
The more you give it, the more it gives back.
Yeah.
And something that doesn't reward attention, I'm dubious about whether that's art or not.
That's Jackie Ochsero. She's a poet and a distinguished professor of English at the University of Utah. Her latest book of poetry is called Ultimatum from Paradise. So now the idea is to give it a shot for yourself. We want you to try and write a haiku. You can email the haiku to radiowest@kuer.org, and we'll share it with our Facebook page, or you can share it on social media with the hashtag CreativeUtah. There's more information on our website, radiowest.kuer.org.